KALW.
It looked to me like if you tripped on your sliding glass door threshold, you would end up falling 80 feet onto the rocks that were placed down below. I mean, it was that dangerous.
If you think about climate change and coastal erosion in the Bay Area, one image that may come to mind, apartment buildings in Pacifica balancing on the edge of a crumbling cliff.
What are the triggers? Maybe when your house now is flooded or gets wet once a month, is it time to move? And then if you're on a sea cliff, it might be how many feet till you get to the edge.
As the sea rises, the city is faced with a growing threat, but the solution scares residents more than the problem itself.
I'm more concerned about my government than I am of sea level rise.
Today we begin a week-long series on the emotional impact of climate change. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. 2020 has been a historically tense year. We've got a pandemic that won't end. We've got the biggest mass protests in American history. We've got a divisive presidential election coming. And by the way, global temperature rise is rapidly approaching the point of no return. You've probably seen the many memes or political cartoons saying essentially, you think this COVID stuff is scary? Just wait, this is nothing compared to what's next. It's a frightening thought. And what was true before COVID is even truer now. When we try to think and talk about climate change, it's normal to become overwhelmed. Maybe right now, as I tell you that we're going to be talking about climate change all this week on Cross Currents, maybe there's this voice in your head saying,
oh, I can't even take it. I don't want to know. You know, it's like, not another documentary or scientific report or class or lecture or radio piece.
That's Dr. Renee Lertzman. She's an author, researcher, and climate engagement specialist, and she's written a book on the psychological toll of the climate crisis. She's part of a growing movement of psychologists who identify that feeling of overwhelm as unprocessed grief. Dr. Lertzman's term for it, and the title of her book on the subject, is environmental melancholia.
So melancholia refers to, you know, what happens when we have experienced loss of some kind, but yet it's not really being processed. And the conversations I'm having with people and have had over many, many years, what I'm hearing is people describing a sense of sadness or a sense of mournfulness or loss.
Lertzman says that starts to explain why, with a crisis of this magnitude, it's sometimes surprisingly easy to forget that it's happening. Some people think and talk about it all the time, but it doesn't feel like everybody is.
There isn't the kind of action or engagement that you would anticipate, and that is because, you know, when we're in this kind of melancholic place, it's not really a place of being able to even imagine a way of engaging. It shows up as a sort of a resignation.
So how do we begin to move out of this avoidant, overwhelmed place? Dr. Lertzman says there's a crucial first step.
To name it, to acknowledge it, to normalize it, to say this might be really overwhelming. That in itself does something to our neurochemistry. It actually allows us to relax a bit more because we have a sense of, okay, I'm being oriented. I know what's coming. I know what to expect.
So, yes, this week we will be talking about climate change and how devastating it'll be, how much the world will be transformed, and how much we will lose. And we'll be hearing from people around the Bay Area whose lives are being affected right now about how they're dealing with the emotional toll of this upheaval. And if you're feeling the urge to avoid the topic, if it feels like too much to handle on top of everything else, well, you're not alone. We've all got some grief to process, and talking to people around you can help. That brings us to our first story. We start with a group of people standing in a circle and talking. The setting is Lindamar Beach in Pacifica, a site famous for surfing and a very busy Taco Bell franchise. One day in early February, a small group of people gathered there to mark the King Tide, one of the highest tides of the year. In Pacifica, it's often a spectacular event with powerful waves surging over seawalls and even smashing beachfront restaurant windows. But when KELW's Angela Johnston joined this particular gathering, the people at the beach weren't watching the giant waves. Instead, they were huddled together, talking about words.
When I get to the beach, a spot I usually surf at and usually have trouble finding parking, it's windy. The sand is blowing off the beach and whirling around. And today, it's totally empty, except for a handful of people stationed just down the beach from that famous Taco Bell built on top of the sand.
Is it okay if I sit here?
Absolutely. Okay. Come on right in.
Jim Kramer is shielding Alicia Escott from the wind with a bright red jacket. Her lips are blue and she's shivering. Together, they're discussing a word they had just made up.
We're talking about kind of the scarlet H of, which we're calling help hazard.
Help hazard.
So a lot of people in Pacifica fear that if their home is marked in a hazard zone, it's going to affect their real estate value.
That it's going to hurt them. But at the same time, it's the only way you're ever going to get any help.
This strange discussion is part of this climate change art project called the Bureau of Linguistical Reality. Alicia is the co-founder. She shows me her notebook full of words from the day.
What we do is we work with the public to identify all the feelings and experiences that we're all having as the climate's changing, that we don't have the words to talk about.
The bureaus come up with terms like wilt and slowpocalypse and other ones that are too difficult to pronounce. Today, help hazard. That people in a hazard zone will need more help, but they'll have trouble getting it. And the fact that this discussion of made-up words is taking place in Pacifica, of all spots, is very appropriate. Because here in Pacifica, there are two real words that have emerged into the public dialogue recently. Words that are so contentious, they've divided parts of the community, helped oust a mayor. Two words that are taboo not just in Pacifica, but in cities all along the California coast.
I gave a talk about 6 months ago to the Santa Cruz Coastal Property Owners Association, which I didn't even know existed.
This is UC Santa Cruz Distinguished Earth Sciences Professor Gary Griggs.
And the guy, the president, asked me, could you talk about sand and beaches and climate and sea level and the future? And he said, but there's only two words you can't mention. I said, oh, what are those? He said, managed retreat.
Managed retreat.
I said, oh, managed retreat is a no-no word.
One of the reasons this term has garnered so much attention is it lacks a clear definition. Gary says at its core, managed retreat is about preparing communities for sea level rise. By now, it's pretty indisputable that the sea will rise by at least a few feet in the next 50 to 100 years. Denying it isn't really an option anymore. By the end of the century, California could have $150 billion of property at risk. We could fight back, armor the coast, and build seawalls or pile lots of sand on beaches. This is what we've historically done.
Statewide, about 14% of the whole coast is now armored with some structures.
But it's an expensive short-term solution. The walls always seem to crumble, the waves wash the sand away. The other option is managed retreat. In Pacifica, it could mean moving homes away from eroding cliffs, or voluntary buyouts, paying people to relocate elsewhere, or putting homes on stilts, giving tax breaks to developers not to build near the ocean. There's a range of options, but Managed Retreat says, even though the waves won't be at your doorstep tomorrow, we should probably start doing something about it soon.
What are the triggers? Maybe when your house now is flooded or gets wet once a month, is it time to move? And then if you're on a sea cliff at Pacifica, it might be how many feet till you get to the edge.
In Northern California tonight, evacuations amid a real-life cliffhanger. A neighborhood hanging on the edge as a powerful El Nino eats away the coastline and may take homes with it.
This 2016 news footage shows a huge bluff in Pacifica crumbling into the ocean below, leaving a long apartment building teetering on the edge. The city had the apartments removed, but the image is now the symbol for sea level rise and coastal erosion in the city. Scientists say the cliffs in Pacifica have eroded at a rate of around 2 feet a year.
You know, you used to play, do you ever play Monopoly?
Yeah.
You know, they had those little red hotels?
Yeah.
On that same windy King Tide weekend in February, I stood with coastal engineer Bob Battaglio on that cliff, peering through a chain link fence where the apartments used to be.
So there were five of the buildings that looked like those little red hotels, you know, and very basic. And these would be the ones that were like on Mediterranean and Baltic, were the really cheap ones.
He says if you don't spend time here, Pacifica can get stereotyped as a wealthy beachfront community. But he says a lot of the homes along the coast are actually apartments, fairly affordable by Bay Area standards. He points to where the back of the building would have been. This is an example, he says, of unmanaged retreat.
It looked to me like if you tripped on your sliding glass door threshold, you would end up falling 80 feet down onto the rocks that were placed down below. I mean, it was that dangerous.
Back in 2017, the city of Pacifica hired Bob's engineering firm to map their risks of sea level rise to help them update something called a local coastal program. A state agency called the California Coastal Commission said all coastal cities have to do it, adjust their old plans to account for sea level rise. Basically, you're at risk, so tell us what you're going to do about it. And cities now need to include managed retreat strategies in their plan. People freaked out. Bob told me some residents were really upset just with the map he made that shows where hazard zones are. Others really took issue with what it could mean. It's a problem of words and ideas.
People don't like the idea of retreating.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's a cultural thing. You know, retreat is a word that you use when you lose in a military conflict or, you know.
I've heard it from nearly everyone I talk to. Retreat is as un-American as it gets. We can solve any problem. We can build a wall strong enough. Retreat seems like giving up. And that idea truly scares people.
I'm more concerned about my government than I am of sea level rise.
Suzanne Drake lives along Beach Boulevard in Pacifica. You can see the ocean from her dining room table. I even spotted a pod of dolphins during our interview. She has a great view of the Pacifica Pier and the walking path along the seawall holding back the beach from her street. She says she worked so hard to buy this house, and she feels managed retreat is like slapping a big scarlet letter on it. If the city decides that by a certain year she'll have to move, or if a map, like Bob's, says her house is in a red hazard zone, what does that do to her home in the short term?
I think there is a direct threat of property values. Certainly, I'm disincentivized to pay my local property taxes, which is the true income of this city.
When Suzanne first heard murmurings of managed retreat in the local coastal program, she started attending council meetings with other vocal neighbors. They made anti-managed retreat yard signs. They even voted out a mayor who was pro-managed retreat. They argue the policy isn't just a threat to home values, it's a threat to all of Pacifica.
It's a preemptive strike to label this community, considering we're looking at 70, 80 years down the road when we actually may need to contend with this.
Why not keep strengthening the seawall and wait until we have more exact dates and more input, she says, from mortgage and insurance companies?
Dooming a community, I think, is frankly, by the government, is irresponsible.
Dooming a community. Over the course of our interview, Drake keeps repeating this. I ask her to show me what she means, and she takes me to an empty lot the size of an entire city block, right down the street across from the ocean.
So yeah, here you go. This property is basically just kind of a city dumping ground right now for various other projects.
It used to be a sewer plant. Now there's idle construction equipment laying around. She says it could be affordable housing or a hotel, but it's been vacant for years. And there are other empty properties nearby. Suzanne tells me the managed retreat label will scare many developers away.
But because of these kooky stipulations that we have now with regard to managed retreat, potential stilts, that you can't have ground floor bedrooms, So those sorts of things, we are not attracting development.
And she says Pacifica needs it. Their city budget is small. They don't get the tax revenue from big box stores or hotels like nearby Daly City or Half Moon Bay. And while dealing with the 2016 El Nino cost the city millions, Drake says there are more urgent problems.
You know, I don't care about 100 years from now, some sort of managed retreat thing. We got to take care of the people that are here right now today. And the only way to do that is to maintain our current tax base and to continue to grow it.
The pro-managed retreat groups think that this sentiment is irresponsible. Like a lot of climate activists, they feel like it's putting the problem on future generations. But many of the ones I talked to lived in parts of Pacifica away from the coast. They won't have to move or put their house on stilts. Like Jim Kramer, the guy who I met on the beach at the Windy Word gathering.
In your word was help hazard?
Yeah, that was one of the words, help hazard. I really like that word.
Jim lives in an old house right above Highway 1. His view looks down toward the beach. You may even be able to spot Suzanne's roof from his living room. And you'd know right away from walking in that he's an oceanographer. There are taxidermied penguins and pelican skulls next to a wood-burning stove. Jim attended almost every city council meeting where the local coastal program was discussed because he was part of a community working group for the planning process.
It was quite contentious and took a long time.
But what frustrated him most is that even when he felt the group had come up with a good plan that satisfied both sides, it got shot down at city council just because it had the essence of managed retreat in it.
It's not saying your house is going to wash away. It says you're at higher risk than someone else, and so you may want to consider that in your planning. It doesn't mean what it sounds like it might mean. And the professionals who used the term and coined the term and made it the word of choice don't think of it that way.
And he says choosing the alternative, armoring the shore, could end up costing the city even more money in the short term. While the sea may not be at Suzanne's doorstep in her lifetime, Jim points to the dangerous combo of a king tide and sea level rise and a big storm. People who live along Suzanne's oceanfront street tell me they sometimes wake up to the sound of pebbles from the beach spraying up against their windows.
Rising sea level doesn't always mean it's going to creep up slowly and slowly and slowly and eventually inundate your land. It affects the major storm events first.
He asks, who is going to repair the seawall if it breaks? Take down the condemned apartment buildings dangling off the bluff? The city of Pacifica can't pay for all this itself, so it has to rely on grants. But most funders now want to see a sea level rise plan.
Burying your head in the sand and refusing to plan means that you're going to have the least chance of getting the money you need to do these most expensive and least effective methods that you hope to employ.
It's one of the reasons why Pacifica wanted to get their plan certified by the Coastal Commission so soon, to be one of the first to be eligible for grants and not compete with the 70 or so other communities on the edge. This funding is one of the reasons Jim latched onto the word help hazard.
So it is the help itself which is at risk, so it's a help hazard. That just seems to me to be a nice little twist on what those words might have meant to you at first.
When we talk about climate change, words have always been powerful. We armor the shore, fight rising temperatures, slash greenhouse gas emissions, and sometimes we retreat. Jim and others at the Bureau of Linguistical Realities word discussion talked about how just changing the militaristic ways we talk about climate change could invite more discussion.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one, right? Like I was telling them how...
In the parking lot near the Taco Bell at Pacifica's Lindemar Beach, Alicia Escott asks the group of amateur wordsmiths, instead of retreat, why not use the word adaptation?
It's a managed adaptation. You know, it doesn't always mean retreating from an area. It can mean raising that property onto stilts, you know, or taking other, or moving it slightly back on the land.
But she's preaching to the choir. For the most part, the people gathered on the beach support managed retreat. And scientists like Gary Griggs think renaming it could be a good idea. What's most important, he says, is to bring both sides together, have discussion groups or workshops before coming in and demanding some new policy.
the next step in their thinking being, they're going to come in here tomorrow and tell us to leave our house. They're going to tear it down. They're going to take it away, whatever. So I think there was a communication problem.
He argues coastal erosion and sea level rise is happening, regardless of whether you label it or map it. Insurance companies and lenders will soon see for themselves if homes are in hazardous places along the coast, just as they did with the recent fires inland. As for Pacifica, after lots of back and forth with the Coastal Commission, the City Council submitted a draft plan to address sea level rise, but it still doesn't mention the words managed retreat. In Pacifica, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.
Angela Johnston is KALW's health reporter, and that's the first story in our week-long series on climate change. Tomorrow, we'll bring you the experience of a little girl in a neighborhood with high asthma rates and other health challenges.
I worry about fires a lot. Like, even today, I'm kind of still worried about fire.
The physical and emotional toll of climate change, that's tomorrow. Today's Cross Currents team includes Precious Green, Valen Arisibar, Marissa Ortega-Welch, B. Saul, Victor Tense, and Eli Wirtschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Dawood Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.